We are living in a time where the church is spiritually weak. I don't care how you assess it, but there's a spiritual weakness in the church, generally speaking. There's a lack of power, and I begin with myself. I do. It's like, what day will God come where we begin in a way we have never experienced before to experience God here, dealing with hearts in brokenness, in reviving, in penitence, where there's a real work done. It's not just interesting sermon. Didn't know that fact. That was a curious little point you brought out there. It was very helpful. I said, no, it's a confrontation with the living God. That's what happened in the past, right? I hope we're aware of that. That sermons in the past, when God attended the preaching of the word, it's not just a well-ordered address. It's not just theologically precise. It's not just exegetically correct. It is a confrontation with the God who gave the word. Where you feel your own soul being drawn to God. Where sins harbored, ignored, unconfessed, are brought up for confession and put under the blood of Jesus. And where dull and dead professing believers are made to be awakened in new life, where they find the fresh energy to love God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I want that. For God's glory and your benefit and mine. We are spiritually needing the Lord to work. How much more down, how much in the way of the down morally can we cope with in this land? Can you imagine for a second what those 100 years ago would think if you just dropped them into our world today and you showed them that teenagers are surgically cutting up and destroying their bodies irreversibly because of some sense of not knowing their identity? Could you? They would think they're living on a different planet. How did we get here? How? Our hearts need to break for these children. They need to be broken. When you see that stuff in the news, you hear about it. It has to break for them. No one has come and told them. In the vast majority of cases, no one has come and explained to them who God is, his love for sinners and the sending of his son, his care for them. They're perfect in the way that they are, that God made no mistake in how they were made, in the gender that they have. That all of that is rightly ordered by God, and they can flourish in this world under him. No one's told them. They're not aware of it. It hasn't been bedded in. It hasn't gripped their hearts. And so they just meander through this world seeking for acceptance in some of the most awful ways. And we have medical doctors prepared to give them what their confused minds want and even encourage it. Our hearts should break. Nothing, say nothing of the depression of people in the very prime of their youth, with more energy than they will ever have in their entire life, with more expectation and hopefulness, where they can still change course and redirect, and they can try out some particular way of employment, and they can move on and find out something else, where they can enjoy all the pleasures of life rightly given by God in an ordered sense. Instead, they're in this quagmire of misery and depression, self-harm. Young people, we want God's best for you. God is there for you. He loves. Don't doubt it. Don't ever doubt it. He's a loving God. This isn't done in a corner today. All this stuff that's happening today is not hidden away. It's all these sins and things that would totally befuddle a generation a century ago. Now, what is it? It's at the top of every street. And it all goes back to spiritual lack. It all goes back to spiritual want. And parents, you are entrusted with the instruction of your children. And you're entrusted also with the responsibility to sacrifice sleep when there's a need for divine intervention. That's your calling. That's your burden. The rest of the world sleeps, but you can't. You can't. Because you feel this unbearable weight. I need to pray. I need to pray for these my children.